Blog Talk Radio.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
You're gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Yes. This is Wednesday night. I know we had a show last night, but tonight is Wednesday night. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason. And, of course, that was a piece of shameless promotion. What can I say? I love it. And if you need a good ad, and everybody that is in this business, I'm telling you, everybody that is in this business needs a good ad person, because an ad will make or break a product. Go check out my friend Chris Dunham. He is absolutely amazing. He's done all of my ads. He also has his own radio show, and he will be happy to do an ad for you to put on that show. He'll be happy to get you to sponsor some of his shows. You won't regret it, I'm telling you. So, yes, check out The Pink Canary. It's a comedy whodunit, and if you love drag queens and you love Key West, you'll love this hysterically funny book. Someday I'll tell you the story behind it. But tonight, it's all about my friend Jennifer Dawn with Forbidden Tears Productions. She does films, radio show, publishing house, and it's all in Waldron, Arkansas. She says they're moving forward each day. She also has her own radio show, too, and I don't know. She's an author. She just released film and documentaries. This woman is, she's got more energy than I do, and I got a lot. So, without further ado, hello, my friend. How are you?
Hello, and I got to tell you, that voice for the Pink Canary, I love that voice.
Isn't he funny?
He is so great. It made me want, I'm going to buy that book.
Oh, honey, do yourself a favor, though. You cannot read it until you go pee first. And then
okay.
Be careful drinking or eating while imbibing in the book, because you don't want to get the book dirty or wet, because you'll be laughing so hard you won't be able to eat or drink.
I have just got to have that book. And his voice is amazing. I tell you what, that's the kind of voice that can make any woman's hair on the back of her neck just stand up and make them want him.
I'm telling you, the man is, he is one of my best friends. Never met him in person. I've known him for 9 years. And he got married, moved to Kentucky. He lived in Michigan. He's moved to Kentucky, and he is really pushing his ads and his new radio show, which he's got back up. But he does all my ads. He did the Mad Hatter.
Awesome.
He did Justice for Cindy, and he's doing some more. So if you need an ad man, hook up with him, because he will absolutely just—he's amazing.
I might just put him for sound effects and narrations.
Oh, he would love it.
I bet he would be very good at some of that in some of my films.
Well, that is part of his repertoire. He does voiceovers really, really well. So hook up with him. Christopher Dunham on my Facebook page. Tell him
I sure will.
Because he's
awesome.
Amazing. Well, let's talk about all things Jennifer.
All things Jennifer. Oh, my gosh.
Well, before we talk about all things Jennifer, let's talk about how Jennifer got to this amazing place in her life.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. Back in the day, I started out in family photography. And what happened was, of course, I was married and living in Mississippi at the time. And I was married to Paul Rick Bounds, who was my director back then. He wasn't my director at the time, but he got injured, and he had lost all income, so I had to do something, and he had wanted me to stay home. and do all that, take care of the house and be the little woman and everything. So I was happy to do that. But when he got injured, I had to do something. So I got a camera. It was a gift. And started family photography. And it just went from there. And to get him healthy, he had always had a dream to do a documentary called In God We Trust, which we later coined as God Bless America Again. And we filmed it, and he became director in Strong River Films. But more and more, he did get better, but he kind of got worse. And things got hard, and I became Forbidden Tears, because you can't cry. You just got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and you got to do what's necessary. And so I coined myself as Forbidden Tears. And after that documentary, I think that I was hooked. I started meeting a lot of artists and a lot of musicians, and we used them in our documentary. And I guess I got the bug. And so I had said, you know, one day, I said, well, I want to do this film, Don't Ever Tell. And Don't Ever Tell became my third film, actually, because actually the second film in a trilogy, because we did Flowers in the Snow. And then we did Don't Ever Tell. And then To the Top will be the third in that one. So I just started out as a family photographer. And it
all
just
right.
grew from there.
When y'all did the first film,
mm-hmm.
what was it about?
Which one? The Flowers in the Snow?
Yes.
Don't Ever Tell actually was going to be Flowers in the Snow. And we did not have... Oh, my God. We filmed that on 8mm reel-to-reel, mini camcorder DV, Sony and Canon GL2. And it was not great quality, but it was all we had. And we filmed the entire film, and it was Don't Ever Tell. But later we got new equipment. I mean, I worked my butt off. I mean, I actually, and this will probably kill you, I worked with this gentleman here where we now film. He has 200 acres in Parks, Arkansas. His name is Don Tofigno. I love him to death. He's a great guy, great family member. And, in fact, Kelly Weaver came out and filmed one of his films out there on his ranch with 16 horses. And so they've all been out there. Catherine Pacino's been out there, and William, they all went out. But I went out on his place, and he was tearing down these chicken houses. And chicken houses are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to earn and get new equipment and new cameras, I helped him tear down the trusses, the very top part of the chicken house, the big beams up in the top. And that was hard work, and he paid me to do that and traded me lumber also so I could add on and build my studio. So I worked my butt off, and he paid me cash and then gave me lumber to build my studio here, and then I built my studio and got new equipment. So then we refilmed Flowers in the Snow with new equipment, and then the first filming became Don't Ever Tell, and that became the second film.
So tell... I know what the films are about, but the audience... Now, before you tell what the films are about, are these films still available?
Flowers in the Snow is released and is now on Amazon Prime. It's also on Create Space, and we are getting it out on Amazon Video Direct, and that is with the subtitles, and that'll be for digital downloads, and that's coming soon. Don't Ever Tell was just released this week on Create Space, and will soon be out on Amazon Prime, like in 2 days. These
now.
Films came about because, I had heard, all these kids getting abused and getting bullied. And I had always wanted to do a film that focused on that and called attention to the victims and brought awareness to the parents, to the schools, and help the victims to overcome. And that's basically where these films came from. And it expounded, but we didn't get to... The idea came in Mississippi, and then when we bought our home here and we moved, you know, I started meeting the kids, and it was really strange because I met this one young boy, and his name is Jason Terry, and he's an amazing actor. And to tell the story of this kid, and I know that he won't mind, but the way that I met him is he had been a kid who had been bullied very badly. And he had called in a bomb threat to his school and had gotten into some trouble. Well, that's how I met this kid. And I had him come to my house, and I talked to him. And I said, would you like to be in my film? And he said, sure. And you know, that kid has blossomed ever since, and he is no longer bullied. He's learned to stand up, and now he is producing, directing, acting, and doing VFX and graphics. And he lives here at the studio 4 days a week and interns here and is doing his own web series now.
That
and this was the
beautiful.
Yeah, this is the reason I wanted to do these films was for these kids. And it was all donated. Flowers in the Snow involved 9 countries. And I didn't leave Waldron to film these. 9 countries of kids being bullied and stories from around the world. People shot these scenes. They sent them to me to the studio from all over the world. I edited these things, and we put them and mixed them into the film, including even in Florida, Thaddeus Ignacio, Ashley Nicole, great young artists. They wrote and filmed scenes and sent them in, and they were put into the film. Scenes from India, and they were sent in and shot it, and amazing, turned out to be amazing.
Well, I have a question for you. As you're talking, I'm thinking, what a great marketing idea for the school districts.
Yes, and we actually, now that they're coming out and they've all been tweaked and edited and everything like that, we are actually getting them to the libraries and to the schools and to teachers and getting them out there, as well as the public is picking them up like crazy. And I think that's awesome. And I do think the schools need to have these.
Absolutely. Because in this day and age, bullying has been going on since the beginning of time. It's the nature of the beast. The strong, for some reason, always think they have to pick on the weak to prove whatever point it is they want to prove.
But you know what I've found, though? They aren't strong. They are at all of these films, they took 3 years. 3 years of my life. My husband, my first husband, Paul Rickey, lost his life right after the editing and finalizing of Flowers in the Snow. He had a heart attack. But he had worked 2 years, and I've given 3 years to these films to where Don't Ever Tell Just Now is released. And what I have found through all these kids and the heartache that you go through and working with these kids, the bullies are hurting too.
Yes. You're right.
And they, maybe that's the only way they have to cope.
Because they've been bullied or abused or mistreated in
a lot of
ways. Yeah, and the only way they know how to work through that, instead of being a positive influence in their own life, they've got to take it out on someone else because of the anger.
I think that maybe there's no other outlets and no communication and no way, you know, for them to really get it out of their system. And sometimes I think it is just kids who think they're better and then they pick on the lesser. But I don't think it's that way in all cases.
I agree with you. I have seen it many times over, and it's sad because all of those children are our future, and just like that young man is now interning with you, his life could have taken a very different path.
Well, you know, and he wasn't meaning to blow up his school, but he needed help, and he had gone to teachers. He had gone to the principal. He had gone to counselors. He had gone to everybody, and nobody would listen to him, and he had... That was his way. His last resort is what he felt, and that to me is sad.
That was, and when my granddaughter was alive, because she was sick and because she had dermatitis, eczema, and psoriasis, and asthma, she was bullied. She was called all kinds of names and given all kinds of labels. And her mother finally had to pull her out of school because she got so depressed and felt so bad about herself. And the bullying wouldn't stop.
It's not right. And teachers don't want to get involved. They don't want to step in. And it's not like back when we were kids and we could just, you know, put our fists up and beat the crap out of them.
Well, yeah, we could take it out the street and knock each other
out
and move on about our business. Yeah.
You know. So
they can't do it now.
It's a rock and a hard spot nowadays. And then so many kids now are also going to suicide. And we're losing our flowers, and hence Flowers in the Snow came about.
Absolutely. That is a beautiful sentiment. Now,
and what was, you know, what was amazing, too, is Max Rustano, an amazing artist. He wrote an original song called Flowers in the Snow, and it's an awesome song. And every musician that came on board for this film, the soundtrack is out of this world. They all donated their time, their talent, and they wrote original scores for this film.
You're giving me chill bumps.
And you know what? The actors, everybody donated to this film. James Brunhuber, Sr., he flew out on his own dime and came out and acted in the film. Todd Fisher, you know, so many. They all came out to be in this film, and they came out on their own dime and donated their talents.
That tells the character of those people that this was something that needed to be done. They believed in the project, and they were willing to make personal and monetary sacrifices to make the project happen.
They sure did, and it was amazing to work with each and everybody and every country that came on board, even Italy, Arianna Borelli, who, you know, she does a voice, a narrative in the film, and, you know, so I've never met her in person or never, you know, but her little voice is on the film, you know, and all these kids from all over the world who were bullied, who came together to be a part of this film. And then each of them learned. When they were done, there's one thing I asked these kids. I said, if there's anything you could tell me that you learned from being in this film, can you tell me what it was? And they said, to stand up and to not believe what they say, and that there are other ways to handle being bullied. And that touched my heart.
Exactly, because too many children take their own lives from being bullied.
Yes, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to react. And so in the film, hopefully our goal was to teach them and to show other kids how they might handle it and how they could react, and for hopefully for parents and teachers to listen and to be aware.
What a beautiful, beautiful thing you did, my friend. I am so proud of you and so proud of that project. That has got to be the most satisfying thing that you have done to date.
It really is. It really is. And it also, I think, the most tiring and emotional thing that I have done. And but it the most worthwhile, you know. And it's hard to put a label on something, you know, like that. But when you look at the kids and you look at kids like Jason, and he's moved forward, and Lovey Burns, who came out, and Angelica Severns, and their lives have picked up, and they're not getting bullied anymore, and they're moving forward, and they found themselves, and they found their place and their niche for a future. It's just awesome. You know, to watch them, that's my reward.
You've probably saved a lot of our future by those two films.
I don't know. I hope so. I've done my best on that, and that's all we can do.
Now, I have another question for you.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. You know, I'm full of questions.
You're going to hit me with tons.
How we roll. You know two friends of mine. That's how you and I met, author Barbara Watkins and Arthur Betty Dravis.
Oh, yes.
Tell the folks a little bit about Six Pack of Blood and those two beautiful, wonderful, horrific writers, and I mean that, ladies and gentlemen, in the best possible way, because they wrote some of the most horrific horror I have read in a long time.
Amazing.
Yes. And then Jennifer went and did something even more amazing. So tell the folks what happened with those two ladies.
Well, you know, it was really weird because in the New Zealand premiere, because we had a red carpet premiere, in Tiroa, New Zealand. And a shout out to New Zealand because those people are amazing. And, you know, it was at Austin's Bar and Bistro. And Kelly Palmer, Phil Palmer, and Kevin Luck, they hosted and did all this and put everything together. And it was beautiful. And, you know, it was really weird because in his speech he said, and special thanks to Jennifer Dawn, who had the courage to produce and bring this film to life. And I wasn't quite sure what he meant because, to me, it didn't take courage. These ladies are such good writers that there is no way I would say no to taking any of their short stories and filming them and taking them to film. So I chose to take 7 of their films. It will be a 7-film anthology. And we started with Heavy Metal, and I shot it in a day, and that was written by Betty Dravis, of course, who is my co-producer on so many films, my mentor, and she has taught me so much about Hollywood and California and social graces in the business and my keeping my hot temper because I'm a redhead and, you know, keeping me in line. And she often uses this emoticon where she's like this big monster holding the little girl down by the top of her head and I'm flailing about, but keeping me calm. But they're just amazing. It didn't take any courage at all. And so Heavy Metal was produced first. And then Saving the GPS Lady will be next. And then Passageway to Hell, which is Barbara Watkins, will be the second one I produce. Saving the GPS will be produced in New Zealand in my New Zealand company.
Now, is Heavy Metal ready for folks to
heavy
go in?
Heavy Metal is done. Now, it premiered in the UK, and Helder Oldfield Rock was the director and facilitator of that, and that was held at 7 Miles Out. Amazing. They called it a cult classic. It went over well. I love those people. Everybody, shout out to the UK. So we've had amazing premieres and screenings on this film, great criticism and reviews, and I'm very excited. And it is now released. It is out now, available on CreateSpace, and it will be on Amazon Prime in 3 days.
So let no, you can't go to no, you can't go now, ladies and gentlemen. You got to wait till after the end of the show because there's more great things to come. And
it is,
y'all,
yes.
Y'all that
yes,
know me know I see
this through
Yvonne computer.
Mason now because this is her show. So yeah,
but it's all about Jennifer tonight. We're making it all about Jennifer.
Oh
now,
no, I'm not used to this. I always make
all,
things about everybody else.
No, my darling, it is all about you. What
Where's
is Hello,
Marcia?
Lucy?
Let's go get Marcia. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
There you go. What is Hello, Lucy?
What is what?
Hello, Lucy.
Hello, Lucy?
Mm-hmm.
Lucy.
That was on your one of your things.
Oh, that was one I was going to do. And, you know, I had come across this video, and I had thought it was great, and I contacted the people, and I said I would like to redo this film because I think that it would be a great film. And they had done a short version. I wanted to do a feature. And so they were all excited about it, but then I guess they got a big head and thought that they could then take it somewhere else. So I pulled out of that, and then I signed for the Mansfield Killings.
Now, that one is in production, correct?
That one is in development right now, and I brought on Mario Prado, and, of course, whose father produced, like, Planet of the Apes and a lot of those films that we watched today. And Mario Prado is amazing. And so I brought him on board, and we're working on that as a team, and we're getting it in development. But the Mansfield Killings is an amazing thing, and I'm very excited about it, and, of course, the Ohio Reformatory is one of the top 5 haunted prisons in the world.
Sweet.
So I cannot wait to get my hands on that prison and spend the night in there, by the way. Very excited about that, and that we are rewriting the script on that and adding some filler and doing some things, and that book was written by Scott Fields.
And
amazing writer.
Tell the folks a little bit about the storyline.
The storyline is based on one of the most notorious killing sprees in Ohio's history. It's based on a true story, and it was The killings happened in Mansfield, Ohio, but the killing spree started in Columbus. And based on two ex-convicts, and they go on a killing spree. And it's called the Mansfield Killings. And it's with, you know, two ex-convicts. And I don't know why. I guess they just didn't want to work, and so they decided they're going to do things and kill people. And it ends up in Mansfield, and they kill a husband, his wife, and his daughter in a cornfield. But eventually they're caught and they're captured, and one is killed and one gets the electric chair.
Lovely.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. And they're even, the Mansfield Reformatory has such a history. They have taken the electric chair out of there and put it in Columbus. But I, when talking to the Reformatory, they're going to bring that electric chair back for me out of the museum, and they're going to put it in the prison for me, and I'm going to film that scene in the prison.
Well done.
Yes. I'm very excited about getting my hands in on this film as soon as development and we get pre-production and everything done. This is one thing that just really has me excited, is the Mansfield Killings, almost as much as heavy metal. I mean, and I got to tell you, heavy metal, I got to say, to date, is probably my best film because I shot it in a day. Now, if you got to choose a film, okay, I got several, because The Other Side of the Rainbow and To the Top are still yet to come out. And I love The Other Side of the Rainbow. To the Top is amazing. 43 countries. All people who donated to that film as well. And, you know, heavy metal. Catherine Pacino flew out on her own dime. William Lashbrook flew out. Jimmy Shandy, he scored the film. Musician, awesome. He came out on his own dime. People come out. They want to be in my films. I love working with them. I respect them. We give them hotel. We give them food. We give them transportation. It's amazing. We have a great time. And heavy metal, you know, it was shot in a day. It's an amazing film. Great actors, great people. Linda Salvin, you know, Florida came down. It's amazing. Over,
well,
down. And you know, then Rainbow, The Other Side of the Rainbow, Curtis Frost came from Canada on his own dime to be in that film. And it was amazing working with him. And James Brunhuber came down again on his own dime to be a bad guy in that film. And then we got the police department. Chief David Millard, Waldron Police, Michael Collette, Sergeant Stephen Morton. I get sirens. I get lights. I get speed chases. I get live ammo. I get real guns. I get ambulance and all the equipment. And I get the EMTs, Christy Hadabaugh, Danny Jones. And they're in my films, and you don't have to give these guys a script. They already know what to do. It's their job.
And I love it.
And it's amazing. And you know, then it's like when I say, okay, I need you to take this guy down, and, you know, he's going to fight you, and then put cuffs on him and then arrest him. And they're like, oh, we got to take somebody down today. You know, and they're like having a ball, you know. Or we get a shooting victim, like when Catherine Pacino was out there on Rainbow, because Cat was in, she's an amazing actress, by the way. She was in heavy metal, but she was also in The Other Side of the Rainbow in a lead role as EMT with Christy Hadabaugh. And, of course, you know, our guys get shot, and there's a gut shot, and that's Phil Palmer. So she's holding the wound and everything, and Christy, they're getting the gurney, and they got blood everywhere. The ambulance gets all dirty, and they put the gauze. They do everything just like it's real. They put the neck brace. They do everything on them. And it's a riot. It's awesome. And then there's me standing there because I've got to orchestrate the police. I've got to orchestrate the ambulance. I've got to orchestrate when the guns go off, who's going to shoot who. And then I got to deal with the chief of police going, I've always wanted to say, freeze, scumbag. So I said, okay,
and
say it. He's like,
what,
really?
What my listeners don't realize is the people in your town also are in your films, the police chief, the
yes,
ambulance people, the EMTs, the real cops. They're in your films as well, which is
That's
amazing.
Right. That's right. And I'm like, well, I need sirens from here. All right, you're going to shoot the guy, but you got to shoot at the log, and then we're going to, you know, put you back over here, and then, you know, because you can't really shoot at the guy. So it's like, and then Phil, he wouldn't scream right. So I said, do I really have to get him to shoot you to get you to scream? He looks at me, and he's like, you wouldn't do that, would you? Because, of course, Phil's from New Zealand. I'm like, no, I wouldn't do that. I said, so scream already so I don't have to. So he did scream. He did a good job after that.
That is funny.
But, you know, those are the outtakes, you know. But we have a great time. We really do.
Well,
oh, man, it's amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about your books, the Caitlin Black series.
The Caitlin Black.
Yeah, let's talk about those books that you published.
Well, Caitlin Black. Caitlin Black is an enigma and an anomaly. Caitlin Black is an individual that is kind of anonymous, unknown, but is there. And Caitlin Black is the duo, as part of the Dark Side duo, to Raven Knight. And Raven Knight, of course, is the counterpart of Caitlin Black. And Raven Knight, of course, was Paul R. Bounds, who passed away in 2015. And it was Raven Knight and Caitlin Black, and they were known as the Dark Side duo of film and authors. And so Caitlin Black wrote Jennifer's Journeys, which is, of course, my journeys. And she wrote book one. And then also Secrets of the Black Bayou, which I want to take to film, is an amazing, amazing story. And I may someday, or I really want another production company to produce that. I've got a trailer out on it. Vampires, werewolves, you know, lichens, mystery, magical powers, the Deep South, Louisiana Bayou, and things like that. And then me, I wrote Jennifer, Dawn Anderson. I wrote I can't even think of that. I think I'm really a better producer than an author. I really do. I mean, I started out, and I met Emerantia Parnell Gilbert, and she became my agent. And she's amazing. And so that was one special Christmas. Was my first book, and based in the 1920s, and it's this little story that I had, and about this kid who lives in the 1920s, and very lucrative, very rich, but then something happens, and he has to find a way to bring his father back to his mother for one special Christmas, and he does that, but first they fall out of this lucrative life, and they end up in poverty, and he takes on becoming a paper boy, and he has to become the head of house. And suddenly, you know, magic happens, something magical in his life happens, and he does find a way to bring his father back to his mother for one special Christmas. Their life takes a new turn, and they get back into the swing of things, back where they were, but not after a big major downfall. And it's just really a heartwarming and heartfelt, you know, story.
It's the story of life.
Yeah, pretty much, and based in the 1920s, and I love that. I think it would make a good short film, actually, even though it is, you know, pretty much a novel. But
it would make a good Hallmark film.
It might, yeah, sure, yeah, it might. I think so. You know, so those are my books. I've written three books. I've started a couple others, but, you know, I've been doing film and production, and, of course, my passion now lies in producing and directing. I love being hands-on on the camera and behind and shooting films. And, you know, once I see these actors come to life, I mean, you can watch these actors come on set, and they'll be all goofy and everything else, and they've got their outtakes. But when you say action, all of a sudden, these actors and actresses, you see the seriousness, and you see all of a sudden their personal being is gone, and the character they are portraying is alive in front of you on your set. And you watch the magic happen, and I love that.
And that's what makes, my husband and I watch a lot of film, and one of the complaints that we had with some of these younger actors is they did not have the ability to say an entire emotion or speak an entire sentence with just their facial expressions. The older...
Well, yes, good point. They've got to learn that, though. It has to be taught. But see, here in Waldron, there are no drama classes. And another great actor I've got to mention and is William Lashbrook. And I was criticized by my executive producer at one point for a certain scene I was putting in heavy metal. And he didn't understand. He goes, are you wanting a film where you are talking to the camera, or are you wanting a film where the audience is watching the film? You know, where your actor is talking to the camera or the audience is watching the movie. But I had to tell you, and even with my editors, we both agreed that it was so powerful when William Lashbrook came on as Johnny the Cleaner. And in that one moment where he says what he does, and there's that pause, and he looks at the camera and directly at the people, your heart just wants to jump. It really catches you, and that is because he was a stage actor.
Uh-huh.
He did theater. He has the emotions. He has the facial expressions. He has that big, powerful stance, that embodiment.
Yes,
presence. Very good. There, see, you do my job. Presence, you're right. Good. And you're right. And so I try to teach that to these kids when they're here. When every kid that's on my set learns, and we go through, they learn to fall, they learn to take a blow, they learn to, whatever their scene's involved, we go through the safeties, we teach them. Because I'm a tough producer. I'm known as a hardline producer and a tough director. I'll do 25, 30 takes. Lovey Burns, I needed her to cry. She could not cry. We must have done it 50 times. And I would push, and I would push. And finally, real tears came. And she just bowled it over. And James Brunhuber Sr., he goes, oh, my God, I just got to hug her. And the whole audience just wants to hug her because I taught her how to bring it out. But then when they might get mad at me, but there's two words when they hear those words, hot dog, hot dog. They smile, and they know they nailed it.
And that's what a lot of the newer actors in that craft are lacking is that ability to have stage presence. The Vincent Prices of the world, the Lon Chaneys of the world, go on and on. Because
yes.
they were Shakespearean actors.
Boris Karloff. Yes, and you know, I was told it's heavy metal by Ian C. Glover. Glover's own DL Pictures edited it. And when they were watching William Lashbrook, he said, you know, this is Twilight. We got to keep it. This is Twilight Zone. This is genius.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, I know. I had to keep it. And, you know, later, Armand Mastroianni, he was the executive producer, of course, and he first didn't understand it. And later he came around. He goes, you know, I watched it. And I didn't understand. And then I watched it again, and then I understood what you were doing, and it made perfect sense. You were creating ambience. You were setting the mood. You were setting the scene. And I said, yes. He goes, Jennifer, I had to call you. I couldn't type this. I had to call you to give you personal criticism. You don't see that done in film anymore. You did awesome.
Because what you did.
That was amazing to hear from him. He's a great producer in Hollywood.
What you did is you literally pulled the viewing audience into that scene through the camera. They were actually in that scene, which is a rarity anymore in the film industry because it's mostly special effects and blow 'em up, shoot 'em up with no meat to the people that are actually doing the characters.
Oh, but I love reality in my films. You know, you've got to have that. You've got to have that, you know, which takes longer to shoot a film and takes longer for production, you know. But the end result, you want quality. It's like Mario Prado says, do you want good or do you want great?
You want great.
I want great, you know.
And that segues me into something that is near and dear to your heart, which is going to take a bite out of what my husband and I call a wooden actor. And we've seen it time and time again in some of these shows we watch. But you have something that you are so passionate about that you're going to take that out of those children and young people and young actors coming up that want that craft. Tell the audience what it is.
I'm not really sure.
It's your theater, my friend.
Oh, my theater, yes, yes, because they will learn so much there. And that's one thing. One reason is because I saw in these kids, not all of them, but many of these kids are wanting to move forward. And without having drama classes, and what I've seen in Jason Terry and Robbie Riddle and even a couple others now, because Robbie's producing and directing now and doing his own web series called Redbud, and he's an amazing kid. But they want theater. And the police chief, David Miller, one day on set, he told me, said, you know, we were talking, and he said, I've always had a dream to teach acting. And I said, really? He said, yeah, but not film. I said, oh, you want to teach stage, theater? He said, yeah. And I said, well, maybe one day you can do that. He goes, well, I don't know. So, and I wanted to start a theater 2 years ago. But when he told me this, you know, and so I've worked towards this very hard. And then one day the mayor came to me and he said, I think I've got a building for you. And so we worked it out and I paid and everything. And, you know, it was part of a donate, but they needed some back. But it was for the community. And I was like, you know, we can do this. So I started a community theater and I reached out to the community. And Christy Hadabaugh, she suggested the name Alley Cat Community Theater of Waldron. So we named it that, trying to get the community all involved and everybody have a little part. So now David Millard can have his dream. He's going to teach acting. We can put on productions. We can have Film Fest. We can bring in local bands, debut. They can have a chance for their music to get out there. We can bring in other bands, concert fests, music fests. And I have the Believe in Your Dreams and Fly film festivals. Now they can come and get their awards if they want to, instead of having them mailed to them. And we can do award ceremonies. We can have dances for kids and karaoke nights for the community and just something there for a small town. And that is very passionate to me, yes. I really wanted to do this for so many reasons and for so many kids and for so many people and to really let them hone their skills. And then somebody said, what about dance? Well, dance theater, sure, why not? Wouldn't that be great?
It would be perfect because
yes.
Dance can segue into acting.
Yes. Well, and you can have musicals.
Absolutely.
You know, opera. Why not?
Yeah.
It's
limitless. The sky
is
absolutely
limitless.
The limit as to what you can do in that little community by getting everybody involved. And before you know it, you got people falling all over themselves wanting to come play at your Alley Cat Theater.
Well, I'm hoping so. And now I do know we have film production companies that want to come out and shoot because it's also a great place where you can set and you can build and tear down and create sets and shoot in there. And it's got back areas and whatnot. And then, of course, we have the studio here and then the 200 acres and then another 16 acres out in another area of Waldron with horses on it and barns and different things too. So production companies are wanting to come out and shoot films and use our studios as well. So there's so much at FTP, plus you get the Arkansas, you know, tax cuts, you know, if you file for them and everything, right? But it is limitless, and I'm just excited about how FTP is growing and how everything is going along. And Carmine Cardona, he'll be coming out because I've now been attached to oh, gosh, I just got the T-shirt. I should remember what I'm attached to. Deadly Affections. And
wow.
That's with Fun Pictures. So he's going to come out, and they're going to shoot that with my crew and on my studios, and we're going to handle that and everything, and he's got his directors and stuff coming out. So we're going to shoot that out here, and I'm looking forward to that. That'll be in July.
Now,
and
there's a major
announcement.
You have a major announcement before we run out of time.
Oh, there's no way. It goes so fast.
I know. That's why I say you've got to tell first on this show, ladies and gentlemen, Jennifer Dawn's got a major announcement.
Yes, very first, because today was a very busy day. And I want to give a shout-out to Emerantia Parnell-Gilbert, because FTP is also partnered with Parnell-Gilbert Literary Associates, and we're also a publishing company. And she sends me these artists like Scott Fields, where I signed Mansfield Killings to take the film. Well, we just signed with Daniel Donai. Daniel Donai, if you ever look at his IMDb, and I'll be coming out with an announcement on Facebook, but we signed to do his film, his screenplay, Scarface. And this is an awesome story, and it's an animated type of story, but not like what you think. It's about a shark, and he's been abused and torn and chained and beaten and everything else, and I guess that's why they call him Scarface. But this is told from the shark's perspective.
Wow.
And it's an amazing film. So I optioned it today, and Paramount had wanted to option this film for $250,000. Well, FTP optioned it today. And I have assigned my Forbidden Tears Productions New Zealand company, Phil Palmer and Kevin Luck, they'll be handling the production with Daniel Donai as director. And he has worked and done, he was stunt double for Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's been in Batman and Robin and, Mad Max, Thunderdome. He's been in so many films. He's an amazing, amazing man, and I look forward to working with him. And that's
now,
my announcement.
Before we, again, run out of time, tell the folks where you can be found, especially the donation page for the Alley Cat Community Theater.
Alley Cat Community Theater is Alley, A-L-L-E-Y, Cat with a K, Community Theater on Facebook, and there's a donate button. Now, we have built the frame for the stage, and we've started the dance floor, but she needs a new roof. She needs heating, a new heater. She needs central put in, and we are taking donations and assistance for this because we really need help in getting her done, and we're about to lay the plywood and whatnot hopefully this weekend. If you'd like to donate, it would be very appreciative for so many artists around the whole United States and even abroad, for those so many who come into FTP from all over the place and want to film and be here. So please donate, and that's Alley Cat Community Theater of Waldron. You can find me, Jennifer Dawn, public figure on Facebook, and it's just Jennifer Dawn. And send me a friend request. I'm wide open. And Forbidden Tears Productions at Wix.com. Also, we handle music. I'm a recording label. We just got Max Restaino's new album out, The Time It Takes. Amazing multi-instrumentalist. Got to give him a shout-out. Ruthie Steele, Danny Jones, multi-international award-winning composer. Too many to name. It's amazing. I love them all. Jimmy Sean D. Everybody. Phil Mosley.
You need to send some of your musician and authors to me so I can get them on this show, since we are working towards 10,000 strong listeners.
I sure will, and I'm sure that they would love it, definitely. And shout out to my co-producer, Betty Dravis. She has been co-producer, so important to me on so many things. I love her to death. And Barbara Watkins, keep your pants on, baby. We're going to be working soon.
Now, let me ask you this, darling, because you, like me, we're dreamers. And in being dreamers, we don't wait for that dream to come to us. We take it.
Oh, we go get it.
We go get it.
We go get it.
And
yeah.
We own it.
We own it, yeah.
So this is what I try to ask just about everyone that comes on the show. if someone comes to you and they say, well, you know, I've had this thought in my head for a while. I kind of wanted to do this. I kind of wanted to do that. But I'm just too busy, or I've got these little youngins running around, or I got this, or I got that, or I got something else, and I just can't do it. So I don't know how you do it. Well, you, like me, had a disabled husband.
Yes.
You, like me, had to find ways to make it happen for you because you, like me, wanted it more than anything else. So
yes.
Tell folks what you would tell someone who came to you and gives you this litany of excuses, and then they say, but I have a dream.
Your mind will stop you. Your mind can think of many reasons to say no. If you want something, you have to believe it, see it, do it, and get it. And that is a mindset. There is a philosophy there. And a lot of people will tell you this philosophy works. You have to see it, believe it, and then do it. And it will happen. That's how success happens. You know, you can become successful by seeing yourself as successful. If you don't feel good, dress up. Look nice. Feel better. It's the whole scenario. You know, you want to be rich. You want to be successful. Look the part. Feel the part. Believe that you are the part. See it. Act it.
What I do is I say, well, fake it until you make it,
it's kind of the way it is, because your mind is going to stop you. Your mind will give you many reasons to stop you. You're the only one who can say, I'm going to do this no matter what. And don't take no for an answer. Just do it. Nike did it, right?
Exactly. In fact, We roasted my husband to get a scholarship fund going in his name, and one of the first things that this friend of ours said, because he was my master of ceremonies, he said, look, Yvonne does not take no for an answer, so don't even bother. Just say yes, dear, and help her get it done, because she will keep coming back until she gets the answer she wants, and it isn't no.
Well, you know, I always say, and I live by this too, I don't care what the definition of normal is, and I don't care what society says it is. I am the Picasso to everybody else's Norman Rockwell. And that is my quote as of, you know, years ago. I published that quote. That is who I am, and that is what I live by. I'm going to be out of the box, and I am going to be the Picasso to everyone else's Norman Rockwell, including in film. So Picasso. Be the genius. Go out there, believe in your dreams, and fly.
Either be the head of the herd or be the back of the herd, but when you're in the middle of the herd, you're just like the rest of them.
Well, I've never been a follower, that's for sure, and I don't know if I'm a leader, but I always say, I have another saying, don't follow me into the madness of the world, just accompany me within my own.
There you go.
I think you'll be fine because I'm dug in and I'm not doing too bad.
Well, and the sad part of this entire thing is I started writing as a child, got discouraged by adults who should have known better, picked it back up in my 20s and early 30s, but I didn't publish my first work until I was 54 years old. I'm 65.
You know what? Jane Kirkpatrick, she wrote The Oregon Trail. She just sold, her millionth book or 2 millionth book or something like that. When I was in college, I wrote a poem, and I wrote a short story. She is the first person that critiqued it, and I never published till I was 30-something. But I tell you, shout out to Jane Kirkpatrick. She's a very good friend, very close friend. I love her to death. But she critiqued me, kind of like you. I never published till later.
But we're still very successful women.
Yes, we are. You have to be a strong woman in today's times. You have to be able to stand alone before you can stand together with somebody else. And you choose to be with a man. You do not need to be with a man, but you choose.
Absolutely. And I'm going to just get on my soapbox for a minute, ladies and gentlemen, so just bear with me. Because I feel very strongly about this. Other women do not define who I am, and I know they don't define who Jennifer are.
No.
We stand on our own two feet. we stand strong in our own right, and we are not defined by anyone else on this earth. We're not defined by man. We're not defined by our children. We're not defined by our parents. We're not defined by our actions, because the things that happened in the past, were a defining moment, but they don't define us.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been on my own since I was 18. I've built every aspect of who I am.
So there you go. So, ladies, I'm telling you, don't follow that herd that's out there. Don't do some of the stupid things and say some of the stupid things that I have heard over.
No. Think for yourself. Have common sense. Do what you know is right. And as long as you're staying morally correct, and as long as you stay within what you know is right and treat other people how you would want to be treated, and you live within that moral fiber, and you build yourself according to those rules. But be the Picasso and be yourself.
Exactly.
By all means, you're going to do fine.
And you
better
don't.
Than fine.
And you don't have to mold your success compared to others.
No, and all you high schoolers out there who think you want to fit in, as soon as you do, you're going to graduate, and then you're going to work your ass off to try to stand out. So why as well start learning to stand out now, and don't worry about what all those other kids say.
That is a very excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is very true. They work so hard to be part of the clique, and then once they're out of high school, they either remain part of the masses, and one or two will break out and be standouts, but the rest of them get swallowed up in the masses because they work so hard to be invisible.
That's right. And, you know, they get bullied because they don't fit in. Well, good. Tell them, look, I don't want to fit in with you guys. Just leave me alone. I'm fine. Because when they graduate, you're going to be the leader. They're
exactly.
not.
Exactly. All
right? So go get them, kiddos.
So tomorrow night we have author Robert Eggleton. And that should be a very, very interesting show. I can't wait for that one. Saturday night, I'm bringing back author Gary Starda, who has released a new book. And all of these shows are at 8 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen. Friday night, we're taking the night off. I know, it's Friday night. You want to listen, but you got Tuesday night. So just wait till next week. Now, I have a little bit of information here. Those of you that know me know I run my numbers daily because I'm anal that way. I can't help it. It's an OCD thing. And as of this morning, just on Blog Talk Radio, we had 2,789 listeners just on this show.
Awesome.
On the other shows combined with this show, we have a total of 7,713 listeners. 7,713 listeners. Now, this show goes all over the world. It even goes to New Zealand and the UK. What I'm trying to say is the goal that I had reached for the end of the year was for 10,000 listeners. I'm going to hit that before the end of February.
Shout out, girlfriend. Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. So the object is, if you've got a dream, you let nothing stand in your way. This radio show was a 5-year dream. We started this show on July the 29th, 2016. The first show was about my deceased granddaughter. It was called The Legacy. Go back and listen to it.
I sure will.
I interviewed my daughter that lost her daughter. That was a tough show to do, but we did it. So what I'm saying is this. The goal was 10,000 listeners by the end of this year. We're not even out of January yet, and we're at 77-plus listeners.
Wow.
So what are you people waiting for? If you have a craft, if you have a mission, if you have a passion, if you have a business, if you have a platform, if you want to get on here and debate politics with me, let's do it. Because you will be heard. Trust me. You will get a following. In fact, I'm going to bring Jennifer back in May because she's got all this good stuff going on and she's got to catch us up. So, Jennifer, thank you. Don't hang up when the show goes dark because we're going to talk a minute in archives. And, yes, it'll be heard in archives. It's kind of like your outtakes.
But, okay. But I want to thank everybody.
You're welcome.
thank you to all of my fans, and I don't like to say fans, but to all of the people who believe in me and who have had my back and who have stayed with FTP for so many years, who motivate and encourage, all of you know who you are. I love you to death, and I always will. Thank you.
And with that, we say good night. So what's going to happen is the show will go up into archives.
Okay.
And once it archives, I'm going to put the link on Facebook. I'm going to tag you in it, take it and put it everywhere.
Okay.
And then tomorrow, after I upload all the podcasts, I'm going to put the links on Facebook and tag you in it, put those links everywhere. Because what happens with each podcast that I have, I get a different demographic of people in a different country. I've got countries I hadn't even heard of before.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
The show is on iTunes. It is on YouTube. It is on Stitcher. It is on FM.com. It is on TuneIn Radio. It is on Spreaker. It is on SoundCloud. It is on Mixcloud. And it is on Podcast.com.
Well, I had a lot of fun. And I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I hope it went good, you know, because you get me started, but, you know, you get you started. We just have a ball. I think I had a lot of fun.
That's why you're coming back in May. I'll send you a date and see if that's good with you. If it's not,
that
give me one.
That sounds good. All right.
Because by then you'll have a whole bunch of new stuff going on. I mean, you're busier than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Oh, I swear to God, yeah. It's crazy. It's going to get busier, too. And looking forward to it, though.
But thank you.
And maybe by
then
I'll have the other two films out and released and ready to go. But get you,
absolutely,
you know, get you heavy metal. And you got to sit down and watch that and let me know. And, of course, give Betty the shout-outs and everything. And I was hoping they'd kind of call in, but I guess they didn't.
Well, they wanted you to shine.
I know. Bestie's always that way.
She,
we should have called her.
That would have been fun.
That would have been. We should. Next time, let's do that. We'll just call her.
We'll pull her in May is what we'll do. We'll make
That's
her
what we'll do. We'll just call.
What I can do is make the show for an hour and a half, and we'll pull her and Barbara in for the, because by then you may or may not have Highway to Hell ready to go, too.
That's true.
So
we might be shooting it by then. I don't know. I'm still writing a script on that. So
there you go. So we'll make it an hour and a half and pull them both in and say, you're on this show.
Yeah, we'll just surprise them. We'll call them at home. Hi, you're live.
Yeah, there you go. All right, my friend, I love you. Thank you so much for being on my show and spending an hour with me. I'm so honored and grateful.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure, and it's my honor. I love you so much. Thank you.
I love you, too. You got to come to Florida and do a film in Florida.
Yes, I do. I will do that.
In the gator country.
Yes, we'll use live gators.
Well, the thing is, there's a perfect spot where Gerard Schaefer, my true crime silent scream, there's a perfect spot over at Okamuk Park where two of his victims were found several years
after the building
that you would love.
Hey, we might have to make that film, but that'd be a sad film.
I'll have to get that book.
That would be a sad film. We should do one of your films. We might have to do that funny one. I am going to read that book.
Okay. You'll love it. You'll fall down laughing.
Right. We might have to do a comedy.
Sounds like a plan to me, my darling.
All right. We'll talk to you later, Yvonne.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.